sorry. Luke 23 and about verse 34. I'm going to read something out of 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, and I'm going to read somewhere out of John chapter 19, and we'll ultimately get to Luke 23. We're blessed tonight to have one of my very best friends in the sanctuary with me, Ben Parrish. Where's Ben at? There he is. If you would, Ben, stand up. He took over at the camp for me. Most of y'all know that already. He's come here and preached for us on several occasions, and I would like Ben to open us up in prayer, if you would. Yes. Thank you. He's doing a wonderful work over at our master's camp. It's just it's good to see somebody take the baton of what you get started in and do something greater with it. Ben's a good man of God. Guys at our master's camp, we appreciate having you guys here tonight. Thank you for attending and being a part of it. And everybody else that came out tonight, we appreciate you. And there's Bean sitting on the front row. I can't help it. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. I always tell him that. I don't mean it in any disrespect to anybody else. He's easier to like than most people is. He sent me a text thing. He said, I think I'm going to be there today. What time y'all have church? I think I'm going to be there. I'm like, kind of bum. We're going to get Ben and Bean in the same place. Praise God. That's good. Y'all, I'm glad y'all are here. All right. Let's just get into Word. Amen. I don't know anything about that, a lot of that. 1 Corinthians, I want to read a verse to you from over there in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. Kind of tell you where we're going to be. I was reading a devotion today, and I absolutely agree with the devotion. The devotion was pretty much just me and God time, but said something along the lines of, we are like the moon. We're like the moon. We're borrowing light from the sun. And any moment that the light would cease to come to the moon would lose its illumination. Anytime God's grace, God's mercy, and the forgiveness of God at Calvary would cease in our lives, all the illumination would leave our lives. We'd be wicked men and women. We would revert back to a wicked state and a dark state that none of us would like to tell. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it either any more than you do. But there is a man on the inside of me, yet for the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, would be the most wretched, vile sinner in this room, hands down. And I know where he would take me. But God. But God. But God resides in there. Amen. I was walking to my car as I was getting ready to come over here, and I kept thinking, man, if God hadn't saved me. I've been doing this for a while. I've been ministering, been preaching for a while, but I get the same question every once in a while. How do you know that you got saved? How do you know? I know for one reason and one reason only. There's only one reason I know above all, because there's this man on the inside who was wretched and undone, wanted to do one thing, please me. Now he only wants to please God. And then other than that, he's a changed man. Amen, he's a changed man. That's a beautiful thing. 1 Corinthians 1:18 reads like this, and that's kind of where we're going to be tonight. I don't ever want to forget where we come from. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Man, if you ever get it... If you ever come to know Jesus, the cross will take on a whole new meaning. The cross will take on a meaning to you that surpasses everything else in this world. It won't be a symbol. It won't be a trinket. It won't be a thing that we look at and go, man, that's cool, or this or that, or this means that, or this means I'm righteous. No, it means a place where a sinner can come meet a Savior. A meeting place between God and wretched man. A place, I love this, old preachers would say this, a level place for everybody to come and meet Jesus. where all the ground is level. There is none righteous, no, not one. When we sit at the feet of Jesus at Calvary and ask Him to save our souls. I was thinking about, before we get to Luke 23, I was looking over there. I was trying to prepare for this message, and I was looking at different places at the cross, and I happened on this one spot that kind of blew me away. I probably seen it. I probably preached it over the years before I get to the main location where I want. I'm over there in John chapter 9, and Jesus is John chapter 19, and He's about to die, and it's about verse 25, and now there stood. Now, this is verse 20. Y'all ain't got to go to John chapter 20. Y'all ain't got to go over to John chapter 19. Just listen to what I'm going to say. Kind of blew me away. This is just bonus preaching. We'll get to the real message in a minute. Verse 25 reads like this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Amen? That's pretty cool. That's awesome. There's one Mary in there that probably don't belong. Amen? Mary, the mother of Jesus, that's, I mean, everybody, well, you know, she belongs there. She belongs at Calvary. She was good. She was a good girl. She was a virgin. She was newer scripture. If you'll ever read Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, you'll find out she knew some scripture. Loved God. Was looking for God to come. And when given the opportunity to be a vessel for God, she said, yes. And then there's another Mary there, Mary Magdalene. Whoo, glory. Seven devil Mary. That's what I call her because she had seven devils in her. Seven is the number of completion. Her life was a complete wreck. Does anybody else have a complete wreck life? That was me. I wasn't a good guy. I wasn't a good person. I wasn't doing good things. I was the person who didn't belong. But Mary Magdalene is at the cross of Jesus Christ because she loves Him just as much as all the other Marys do. Because one day Jesus came passing by her life and called her by her name. And called her out of her mess. And she spent the rest of her life following Jesus. She is at the cross of Calvary. You might want to write this down. It doesn't make sense for Mary Magdalene to the world that she's at the cross of Calvary. It don't make sense. If Jesus wasn't real, if He didn't cast out devils, if He didn't change lives, then she could have went on her way. She could have said, how in the world is God dying on a cross? How is the one that has all the power in my life dying? You know what she said? I don't understand it, but I do know He saved me. I don't understand everything God's doing. You might want to write this down. You might want to say this to yourself about 20 million times before you die. I don't know what God's doing, but I know where He found me. I know what I was doing before He found me, and I know what I'm doing since. And sitting at the feet of the cross while Jesus is dying is better than sitting with seven devils, no matter what. I could just see her every once in a while. Maybe reach over to Mother Mary and tap her and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Have you ever had somebody that's been through more stuff than you? Had some things life has thrown at you. Maybe you don't understand what it's like to live like they've lived. All of a sudden she reaches over and says, hey, I know it's going to be all right. The moment He cast the devils out, I knew He was going to have to make the payment. I knew when he got rid of every devil in my life, I knew He's going to have to pay for it. Amen? It couldn't be done for free. I love the Mother Mary myself too. One thing I'd like to preach about her sometime down the road is she gives people things that she didn't get because of the relationship she had with Jesus. Do y'all know the first miracle in the Bible was at a marriage celebration? Do you know that Mary organized that? Do you know her marriage got wrecked? Do you know she didn't have a celebration like all the other Jewish girls had? And somebody had the audacity to say to her as the wedding was coming to a grinding halt because they had run out of the good stuff. A lot of us, if we didn't get something because we got knocked out of it, because God did something in our life that we didn't get what we thought that we might need or want, we would probably be kind of bitter about that. Well, at least you had a wedding. At least you had a big celebration. Maybe at least you had all your friends. You know what she did? She went to Jesus and said, you know what? They're going to need the good stuff. They're going to need more. I know. And she even took a little heat from Jesus. What am I have to do with that, woman? He goes, then she looks at the servants and says, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Amen? Just do it. I love that. I love when people who've been with Jesus, he saved them and changed them, they want other people's lives to be better than theirs. They want to promote other people. They want to put other people on. They want to put other people up. They want to say, hey, I met Jesus. That was enough. I was called. That's enough. Jesus, Mary's the only person in the whole Bible that had Jesus on the inside of her body twice. Golly, if y'all ever get to the room, in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, everybody's sitting in that room praying, getting one mind, one accord. Everybody's like, I wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder what God's going to do on the inside of us. Mary goes, I know. He's amazing. Hold on, it's going to get better. Y'all ready? Let's go to Luke 23. Luke chapter 23 real quick. I promise I won't be long here. I hope. Luke 23, verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors. This is the oldest message I've got. I was thinking about this as the week was progressing, and God was really pressing me out to go to the cross. This is the oldest message. This was the very first message I ever preached when I got called to preach. I knew I was going to preach this message about 6 months prior to the first time I ever stood behind a pulpit or in a pulpit to preach a message. God told me you're going to preach about the two thieves on the cross. I knew it. I knew it. That night was a special night, but I knew it like I knew it was the back of my hand. And somebody asked me a few years ago, how long does it take you to prepare for a message? And I said, man, that's a pretty neat question. How long does it take me to prepare a message? I preached in like no notice, like when I walk in and my pastor hands me the microphone and says, Kevin, go ahead. So that's about a half a second. And then some messages like this are about 17 years old. Amen? We've been adding on to them, me and the Holy Spirit, for 15, 16 years. So somewhere in between that ballpark, 1 minute and 17 years. Amen? There were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Jesus was going to be crucified with two thieves on the cross. He was being walked out as a thief, a robber, a murderer. This is the highest penalty for the highest crime. Jesus was led away with two thieves. It was prophesied that he would do so. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I believe this is where the one thief began to change his heart and his mind. I believe the best messages we'll ever preach or teach are messages that we learn how to forgive and get over things and how people watch our lives when the heat is turned up in our lives. Christianity is not one of words, it's more of actions. They were, if you read in Matthew's gospel, it said both thieves railed on Jesus. So when they all three took up their crosses to go to Calvary, they were all criticizing Jesus. They were criticizing Jesus all the way up until the end. Don't think death is going to bring you to salvation. That's not always the case. What brings you to salvation is the Holy Spirit drawing upon your soul unto salvation. These two thieves started out the day just like they started out every day. They were on a road to death. But Jesus got on the road with them. Amen. Aren't you glad? If you're sitting here saved this evening, aren't you glad that God got on your death road? Amen. God got on my death road. Somebody said, I've got this over the years. What could you have done if you had studied in school? What would you have done if you had actually put all your effort into learning? What if you'd put all your effort into sports? What if you'd have done this? What if you'd done that? Have you ever played that game? If I had done this, I could have done that. Well, let me tell you something that changed all that. One day, I came face to face with Jesus Christ and called unto Him for salvation because He met me on my worst day. The day that I said, God, I'm a sinner, and if I died right now, I would go to hell for eternity. And you know what He did? He saved me. So I don't play the what-if game anymore. I've got the greatest life that there ever has been for a man named Kevin Graham Shelton. Because guess what? I met Jesus August 28 of 04 in Chatsworth, Georgia in a single-wide trailer. That's where I met Jesus. I don't know why He saved me there. Don't care, but I'm glad He did. Amen. I wouldn't trade that. I wouldn't trade it for all the sports fame, fortune, or anything. Money, jobs, notoriety, or anything. I met Jesus. Meeting Jesus changed my whole life. Meeting Jesus changed my heart. Meeting Jesus changed my mind. Here's two thieves. I guarantee you they didn't think that day that I'll be getting my life changed. Nobody ever sets out on a day and says, today's going to be the day I'm going to get saved. They might want to, but they don't know what day it's going to be. I love the fact that God can change your life in one day, in one moment with Him. Amen? In one moment, you can go from dead and dying to living and living eternally. From a bitter, angry, mad individual to somebody who loves and forgives and cares. And as soon as it was, the day of the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led Him to the council, saying, I'm way off. Sorry about that. I'm way over on the other page. And they came to where this is verse 33. And then when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and on the other on the left. And they said, and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast a lots. And the people stood by beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. I've said this over the years. I believe there's going to be one anthem in hell. I believe there's going to be one banner that hangs over the gates of hell, and I believe it'll be a short little word called if. I believe everybody that enters in hell has said the same thing about Jesus. If. If is God. If He's a Savior, if it's real, then I guarantee that's the anthem of hell. I love when Jesus went to be tempted in the wilderness by the devil. Every time He started an attack on Jesus, He said, if you be the Son of God, if you be. I love that. I love these guys standing around looking at Him on the cross. You've saved others. If you're God, save yourself. I could almost hear in His spirit saying, I don't have to save myself. I believe God is who He is. I believe in who I am. I know what I know. I don't have to save myself. I'm saving you. Aren't you glad He saved you instead of saving Himself? I get all emotional and tore up in this right here. I believe every angel in heaven. I believe every angel in heaven stepped off in the spiritual realm, looking into a physical realm, looking down at us, going, at any moment they would have said, call on us, we'll end this. One angel killed over 100,000 people in the Bible. One angel. Could you imagine all of heaven loosened on us? And then we get to thinking about that, and I get a little bit deeper in it. I think, what about the angel? What about God? What if God was just to roll back the curtain? What if He had rolled back the cloud and said, no, you ain't going to do it? What if the good Father had said, no, that's enough? But He stayed. He allowed it to happen. He crushed Him for our sins. It says in the Scripture that it pleased God to crush Him for my sins and yours. Man, that's a heavy thing. and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription wrote and was written over in the letters of the Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. They were absolutely correct. Ain't it amazing? Sometimes God just puts a billboard right there in the middle of it for everybody to read. This is the king of the Jews. Some of them disputed that. They went back to Pilate and said, change it. Change it to that says he said he was. And I love what Pilate said. Maybe the only, probably one little piece of backbone that he had left in his whole body. He said, what is written is written. I believe he couldn't change it if he wanted to. I believe God wanted it. I believe God wanted that sitting right up there for everybody in the crowd to read up there going, that is the king. That is the king of the Jews. That is God dying on a cross for your sins and mine. I believe God did that on purpose. Now, this is the good part. This is my favorite part. I don't know about you. I don't know if you like the Bible or if you get into it like I do. This right here is just pure gold to me. Every time I read it, I go through it every year or so. But every time I get the unction to go over here and read this, I love it. I mean, it just does something for me. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. That's it, ain't it? Man, you'd think, man, hey, get me. Hey, what he leans over, he's dying on the cross. If you be God, get us down from here. Some of y'all might want to write this down. We want God to get us out of our current trouble, not to save our soul, no matter if he does get us out of our trouble. You'll know when you get saved or not, because you know what you'll say? God, I deserve everything I get. I deserve everything I get in this life. Just save my soul. Just work on my soul. Work on this man right here. I know when people have really gave their heart and life to Christ, because you know what? They don't give any demands anymore. They don't give any demands whatsoever. They say, man, I'm a wretched sinner. I don't deserve anything. God, he saved me. Whatever he wants to do with my life, if he wants me to spend it in misery or if he wants to have me rejoicing, that'll be great. Otherwise, I'm just going to stay right where God is. I'll glorify him right here if I have to. Man, I've met some people in some dire places. I have met people in some dire... I'm talking about people on death row. I remember meeting the baddest man in the state of Tennessee, walking up to his cell, and he goes, will you pray for me? I said, I'd love to pray for you. And right before I started praying, he said, do not pray for me to get out of this prison. He goes, I'm never getting out of here. I killed everybody they said I killed. I've done everything they said I've done. I want you to pray that my soul has peace when I do pass. And somehow God can show my family the love of Jesus. But I don't want to get out of here. I don't even want to hope for that. That's up to God. But ultimately, I just want to please God walking the rest of my days out on this death row for him. I thought, my God, what a message. We need more messages like that. God, I don't have to get my way. It don't have to go my way. You don't have to get me out of my trouble. You don't have to heal me. You don't have to do that. God, just save my soul. Some of y'all just need to make a simple plea. Save my soul. I go back to thinking when they brought the man paralyzed and they broke him through the roof and sat him down, the first thing they did, first thing Jesus did was heal him of his biggest problem. Forgave him of his sins. I always, when I read that, I'm thinking, man, that's got to be awful. But then I'm thinking, there that guy is laying there, paralyzed as could be, but I wonder if he could just work a smile up. I wonder if he's laying there going, thank Jesus. I've been paralyzed spiritually longer than I ever was physically. I've been wasted, my whole life's been wasted away. If he don't ever get me up off this mat, I'll be fine. But God's always a little bit better than that, amen? Is there anybody God's been better to you than you can even claim? I'm one, amen? I know there's about 20 in here who could say he saved me and he done better by me than I deserved. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Get yourself off of this thing and get us off this cross. Verse 40, this is the place where I get really weird at it. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? They're having a debate on the cross.
Jesus is in the middle. They got two people on each side. And I mean, these guys are having a spiritual debate at Calvary. Golly, but you can't get no better than that. I mean, you gotta go, hey, Jesus, get us off this cross. If you're God, get us off here. He doesn't belong here. We're in this condemnation because of the things that we did. Man, he's a biblical scholar hanging on the cross. I bet that guy on the right side, who in the world are you? You're in the same mess I am. You're talking to me about God? That's about how my whole life went since I got saved. Who do you think you are telling me about God? Well, somewhere along the line, I looked over and recognized who he is. Somewhere in this life, I don't know how, I don't know why he got into a little place in Chatsworth, Georgia. I don't know why big God got real, real small and put himself in a place where he could save me, but he did, and all I know is to tell you that's who I met. I finally seen who it was. Man, I love it. I hope we get to replay some of this, Ed, on some HD stuff up in heaven. I want to see this debate. I want to see him leaning over, making eye contact with him. And I want to see some people in the crowd going, are they talking about this? I mean, hey, can I help you right here? When you're talking about Jesus, even if you don't even know what you're talking about really, praise God, your problems kind of drift away. For about 5 minutes right here, everybody in that crowd, and the fact that they're being crucified has disappeared. They're having a heavenly discussion about Jesus, their Savior, or their could-be Savior. God, see that thou art in the same condemnation. And we indeed just, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. Man, he's sitting here going, I think he heard him. I think he just sat there and hung on the cross, and for one time in his life, he shut up and listened. I wish somebody just put that in my life early on. Just shut up and listen to Jesus. Amen? I bet every one of my teachers all the way 1 through 18 would have said, just shut up and listen to Jesus. I believe he got in a place, and all of a sudden he's looking around and he goes, man, that real, and all of a sudden he said, forgive them, Father. I mean, you're talking about forgiving these people who are punishing you and bruising you and beating you and embarrassing you and hurting you, and you got no defense, but you're going to forgive? I believe that's where he just said, this guy's from a different place. You ever want to get set free of anything? Learn how to forgive like Jesus forgives. Start forgiving people before they ask. I'm not asking you to lose your mind. If somebody steals a bunch of money from you, don't loan them any more money, but forgive them. If somebody's physically hurting you, praise God, don't give them charge over your body, but praise God, start to forgive them. Oh my gosh. What if I do forgive them? Then what? What would I have? Freedom, peace, joy, happiness. Praise God, you'll be able to walk around and go, I don't have to walk around being bitter and angry and frustrated and just wonder if God saved him and God has saved you, wouldn't it be just a great be able to think, say, I'm done with that already. I got out of that prison a long time ago. Some of y'all need to get out of the prison of unforgiveness because, praise God, the other person don't even think about it, and here you are still locked up. Some of you still got yourself locked down on unforgiveness alone. He said, we justly receive the due reward. But this man has done nothing amiss. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, I love that, don't y'all? What a big-time prayer. We should be embarrassed by some of the stuff we talk to Jesus about. This guy makes a simple, just ordinary. We need to talk to God better. We need to talk to God like we talk to everybody else a lot of times. Matter of fact, we talk to everybody else before we talk to God. But I love this. He said unto Jesus, look at this right here. He's hanging on this cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. When you get where you're going, just remember me. Ain't that good? No ifs, no buts, no, hey, deliver me. Hey, no, get me out. Hey, get me off the cross. Hey, change my whole background. Hey, God, just think on me. God, I know I deserve hell. I know I deserve to be separated from you. But what a sweet prayer, Lord. remember me. We can make a simple prayer. Like, can we not make a simple prayer like that? Ours goes like this: Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Hopefully you're not going to die in the next few minutes. We have one thing up on this guy. We get to live. God, let me live for you. I've lived for me long enough. I'm not drawing my last breath. I don't think I'm going to die today. If I do, that's fine. But if I don't, praise God, let me live for you. Hey, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Let me live for you. That's all God wants from you. He don't want a whole, he just wants you alive. He wants you to live for him. He died for you. He gave a full sacrifice of death for you. And he says, it's your reasonable service that you live for him. That's what he said is reasonable, a living sacrifice. God completely died for you. All he wants you to do is completely live for him. That ain't too hard. That ain't too hard at all. I love verse 43. What a sweet reply from Jesus. Jesus didn't overcomplicate it. You'd think he's, well, if you'd do this, 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 and this, and if you'd have done it, if you'd known this, what's Jesus? And Jesus said, verily, verily, verily I say unto thee, when today shalt thou be with me in paradise? I've had so many debates about this. I don't know. People get all kind of weird about this. Well, where's paradise? I don't know where paradise, but I do know one thing. It's in the life past this life. Let me tell you something else I know about it. Jesus was there. Amen. Guess who else was there? Thief on the cross. Wherever Jesus is in eternity, guess who else is there? Thief on the cross. He's there too. You will be with me. I think he did a wheelie. A pivot wheelie, all right? I just renamed that. I believe he hit there, turned in, went into heaven with everybody else. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all the prophets, everybody else walking in, and one old boy who did not belong. Thief on the cross. Subtitle guy. You know, sorry, that's a movie reference. Don't have a name. We got all these wonderful biblical names. Thief on the cross. Praise God. I could see him. I could see him finding his seat at the table. Oh, there it is. I can see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them. Man, this is better than I can imagine. We could see through a glass darkly. We couldn't really see what we were looking at. We had faith in Jesus. We didn't know it was going to be this good. And that guy said, man, it was amazing. I was right there, front row, right there with Jesus as we took our last breath. I was this close to going off into a turn. I was that close. Man, I hope I'm preaching this good enough for you right here. I want you to get this. Somewhere in your life, all you got to do is catch a glimpse of him. Oh, that's all he did is he seen him. He seen him, and he knew he could get saved, and he made a simple plea. And the rest of his eternity is changed. I just caught a glimpse of him. I just caught a glimpse of him. August 28 of 04, I just caught a glimpse of him. Made a simple plea. Changed the rest of my eternity and the rest of my life. That's all he's trying to do. That's all he wants from you. We got to remember, guys, if you're sitting in this room, you've been saved for a while, take yourself back to Calvary every once in a while. Take yourself back there and remind yourself you could not be where you're at without Calvary. You could, if Jesus hadn't died on that cross for your sins, you could not be a part of the church. You could not do anything for God or with God or anything else. It's because he died for your sins. And if that is the case, then you got to remind yourself and remind others, if he saved a wretch like me, he can save a wretch like you. All we are people who found the bread. We found Jesus, and all we got to do is tell people that where we found him and how we found him, and they can find him too. That's all we have to do. We don't have to save them. We don't have to convince them. We don't have to be right. All we have to say is, I found Jesus, and Jesus found me. I repented, and he's the Lord of my life. That's it. So I don't agree with that. I don't like it. I don't want to hear that. That's fine. Have a good day. I'll be praying for you. You don't even need to pray for me. That's fine. I'm still going to pray. Because you know what I know about that? One plants, one sows. Guess who gives the increase? I never wanted to get saved. I fought it with everything in me. My dad was a preacher. My dad loved God. My dad was, God, he was a Jesus freak. I was like, God, I want a manly dad. I want somebody to watch football with. I want somebody to hang out with. I want somebody to talk with. I got a guy, every time I see him, he's praying for me and talking about Jesus. And then one day, his Jesus became my Jesus. I didn't want it. I didn't think I needed it. But ain't God good? He breaks you at the right times, in the right places. Some of y'all sitting here, what are we talking about? God has this amazing way of taking everything that's happened in your life and breaking you right at the right moment to save your soul. I've said this, and this is where I'll close. I've seen some people in hospitals, jail cells, kicked out of their house, run off from their family. People walked up and said, that's the last straw, no more hope for them. And everybody's like, pray for them, help them do this. And God has spoken my spirit, said, leave them alone, I'm about to save them. I'm about to save them. Because right now, the only place they have to do to look is to look up. That's God. Y'all might be mad at me. I don't know. But I believe COVID probably caused more people to get saved than our local churches have in decades. I believe a lot of people sitting in hospitals for the very last hours of their life, probably touch and go for some of them, and they finally said, you know what? God, I'm so sorry. I played the game. I've run around. God, help me. If you don't think God works in places like that, you're crazy. Amen? Some of the best talks I've ever had with God was when I'm in my dire situations, and y'all know that to be true. Let's all stand.